puts more stock in what people do rather than what they say. We are easily swayed by the nice things or by people that are very fluent talkers. So most times, and people tend to pattern their behavior after what people say, but look at what they are doing. That's the best way to ferret out the truth in any particular context or situation. So if somebody is always telling you, go right, go right, go right, and he's not going right, then there should be some question marks. Why is he telling me to go right? And if right is so good, what about him? Why is he not taking right? Or if we hear a lot of those people that publish 10 steps to make money or how to hammer quick, and you've not hammered, and you're not using your own 10 steps. So why should I listen to you telling me 10 steps to make money? Or native vectors too, for example. Okay, I can do some form of ritual to make you hammer. But look at you, you're living in poverty. So if those rituals were very good and all the best, how come you're not using it on yourself? So watching what people do, putting more stock or more weight to what people do rather than what they tell you they are doing or what they tell you to do is also a good way to save yourself from being deceived.
Hello, 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 good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you're listening to us from. This is The Creatives Chronicles, the podcast for designers and developers. Here on the show, we share our experiences, our learnings, and our feelings. We keep it real. We explore topics and conversations to help you become a well-rounded professional. My name is Bright Emeka, and as always, I'm joined by the man, the myth, and the legend, Busuke Chikunde. Good morning, boss.
Yeah. Welcome, Bright, and welcome to our audience. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode. Before we get into today's episode, first, the cool tip and the cool tool segment. For me, the cool tip is actually, I'm going to be sharing the Rotary, I think they call it the four-way test. The Rotary four-way test of the things we think, say, and do. The number one is it the truth? Number two is it fair to all concerned? Number three is will it build goodwill and better friendship? Number four is will it be beneficial to all concerned? Basically, the Rotary four-way test is used though as a gauge to measure actions and thoughts. So I think it's a good thing or it's a good principle to adopt or live by. So in case you've not heard of it, the Rotary four-way test is available online, but I'm also going to leave a link to it in the show notes so you could take a look at it, and if it applies for you, you could adopt it.
So mine today will be keyboard shortcuts for Chromium-based browsers. At least that is the large majority of browsers available in the market. So we spend a lot of time browsing the internet, and keyboard shortcuts could make your work faster. So there's some few shortcuts for common operations. For example, to select the address bar, Control L or Command L to select the address bar. To close a tab, Ctrl W, closes a tab. To open a new tab, Ctrl T, Command T. To open a recently closed tab, Ctrl Shift T or Command Shift T. To navigate forward or backward, alternate left or right. To switch tabs, to go forward or backward, to navigate forward or backward in your on your tab list. That's Control Tab or Control Shift Tab. So those are shortcuts for the most common operations to carry out in browsers, which is open a new tab, close a tab, type in a new address, navigate forward or backward, and switch between tabs. So keyboard shortcuts, at least they shave some time in carrying out those operations than having to find your mouse and gets the cursor to the right place and point and click. So I'm assuming a lot of people already know about this, but for those that don't know, these are useful shortcuts that could make your work faster or make your browsing faster.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, thank you. I had no idea about the shortcut for selecting the address bar. Thank you. Like, thank you. I'm definitely going to be using it. Thanks, boss. All right. All right. Thank you for sharing. Today's topic is about the either-or fallacy. Yeah. The either-or fallacy, or as it's also known as, it's called the false dichotomy or the false dilemma. This is a type of logical false belief wherein a said situation only has a limited number of alternatives, but in reality, you can have more. Okay. Before this definition thing, right, let me paint a picture of the context of what was happening that led to me thinking about this topic and the episode idea in the first place. Right? The thought around today's episode is coming from a place of frustration, right, at the number of hot takes and opinionated postulations by so many industry gatekeepers. Like, the intentions might be good, but the resultant effects can be misleading and misinforming. For example, someone would be speaking from a place of personal experience without acknowledging the fact that as rich as their personal experience are, like, it does not cover the full range of possibilities available. There was a tweet I saw by someone, I'm not going to name names, and I was like, come on, this is just your experience. Don't generalize and don't conclude that your experience is the law, hence the either-or fallacy we're talking about. Boss, for you, like, in simple terms, what is the either-or fallacy or false dichotomy?
Yeah, so while it's a fallacy, most time it is used as a framing device, or it is used for, it's usually used as a framing device or for manipulative purposes. So basically, where you want to lead people to, knowingly or unknowingly, to think that the only options available are the one you present to them. Either take this or this. For example, a very common one is in the US political sphere. Most people think that the only parties available are either the Republican or the Democrats. But actually, a lot of parties in the United States. In fact, the United States, if you look at it, they have more parties than Nigeria, more political parties. But you wouldn't know that by reading the news. There are a lot of parties. And each state has their own party structure. So it is not like their party structure is not like ours, where ABC. The ABC is the same in all states. It's one body that has state branches. But theirs is more like they have different versions of these two, or the two main parties that are affiliated to the national body structure. And then they have other parties like the Green Party, the Reform Party, the Libertarian Party, and a whole lot of them. So they have a lot of parties. But during voting time, what are the ones, the two choices that are most emphasized? The Republican Party and the Democrats Party. So that's a very popular example of a false dichotomy, a dilemma, or an either-or fallacy. It's usually used for mostly as a framing device. Basically, you want to restrict people's choices. You want to deceive or manipulate people into thinking that they have less choices than it's actually available. And you want them to only consider the choices you place in front of them instead of the full range of choices that's maybe present or maybe available at the time or in that context.
It is understandable if you use either-or fallacy when it comes to marketing for your brand, that there is no problem somehow there. Like when you hear MasterCard will say there are two things money can buy. Other things you can get. There are some things money cannot buy. For other things, you can use MasterCard. This is the either-or fallacy used here. And it is understandable when it is used in marketing context to limit choice. But where I'm having a problem with it is when it is used as a gatekeeping tool by industry leaders. Boss, what do you think creatives, especially young ones coming up, there are plenty postulations on Twitter, there are plenty opinions on Twitter that that are shades of this either or fallacies in one form or the other. How best do you think, as young ones coming up in the industry, younger creatives, younger developers, how do you think they can sieve information and know, okay, this is just opinions that have, that hold no water, or that are just basically trying to force someone's opinion on other people?
Finding out for yourself is the only way to break free from the either or fallacy, or to prevent yourself from falling prey to the either or fallacy. That's the only way, because it's basically, it's a game of knowledge. So the either or fallacy tries to limit your knowledge of what's available, and mislead you to think that less knowledge is available than it actually is available. So the only way to counter that is to get more knowledge, to do the work for yourself. Don't look at what is presented to you. Find out what actually is available. And I think the Bible has a story around that area in Acts, where it talks about the Berean Christians, that on their own, they will go and search the scriptures to find out if everything Paul told them was true. So that is a clear example of how to break free from the either or fallacy. Okay, you told me that you have just this and this. This and this are the only options. Well, in the restaurant, there are just rice and beans. How do I know that you're telling me the truth? How do I know that you're not just trying to sell me what is most profitable to you at that time? So what actually is available? Finding out for yourself. That's the only way to counter the effects, the intended effects of the either or fallacy.
Yeah, true. Find out for yourself. There's nothing as liberating as knowledge. There's nothing as empowering. Like they would say, knowledge is power. But I think both UK has to rephrase that quote, applied knowledge is power. So one other thing I think could help is understanding that everybody's journey is unique. So that something worked for person A does not necessarily mean that it's going to work exactly how it worked for person A in your own situation. Your context is actually different in some way to person A. So don't entirely expect that what worked for person A will work in the same way as it worked for person A in your own situation. So be open to experimenting in your own way. Be open to understanding that while someone might have good intentions when they are making some postulations, it's a good thing you find out for yourself, and also be willing to accept the consequences for your own action, and would all be better for it as an industry.
Yeah, and another thing too is to have a basic understanding of human nature. Human beings are essentially selfish at the core. So everything we do, knowingly, or let's say consciously or unconsciously, has to have some form of personal benefit. As in, we rarely do things that will be to our personal detriment. The benefit might not be material. For example, philanthropy. People carry out philanthropy. Of course, philanthropy is basically acts of selflessness. But those acts of selflessness, so to speak, are selfish in their own rights. Because why are you being philanthropic? Most times it's because of the feeling of fulfillment or the happiness from helping others. There is some personal benefit, let me say, or from the accolades and admiration of society generally. If people got 50 strokes of the cane for every act of philanthropy, how many philanthropists do you think we are going to be having? So even the what we see as acts of selflessness are selfish at the core. So when you understand that, and I think there's a Latin phrase that is common in the legal sphere, qui bono, who benefits. So most times when people sell you or when people present things in front of you, it inures to their benefit in one way, in some form or shape, or in one way or the other. So when people present options to you, you should have that back of your mind that even if this person is trying to help you, both realistically or seemingly, in some way or form, even if you end up benefiting, you should know that the person is not going to help you at his or her own expense. So in some way or form, the options being presented to you, or the most attractive choices that the person is pointing out to you, benefits them in some way or form. Of course, if I'm if I have an endorsement deal or if I'm an agent for some brand, I will be pushing that brand much more than others, all things being equal. So having a basic understanding of human nature, I think it's going to help. So you're going to have this at the back of your mind that this person is going to push basically what he agrees with. Most times it might not be conscious. It might be unconscious too. That's where the bias is coming. So this person is going to push what he finds favorable to himself first before the consideration of what is helpful to the audience comes in many instances. So I think most times people fall into problem because they have this naive, rosy view of the world, and the world is not very kind to naive people. So to the sorry to say, people fall into many problems because they have a view of the world that is different, markedly different from how the world actually is, what the reality on ground is. For example, most people fall prey to being duped or being scammed in some way because they felt, this person is a nice person. He can't do such a thing. But I didn't believe he could do such a thing. Well, not because you are stupid, but because in your own view of the world, nice people such as this cannot do horrible things such as that. Sometimes people do see warning signs around some things, or some people have more context with which to make more informed decisions, but they tend to have some rosy view of the world that is different from reality. For example, this person is nice, or this person is famous in the community, he's well known, so he must know what he's talking about. So I'll jettison all the knowledge I have and just rely on what he's telling me, even if I know for a fact that it is not entirely true, or there's more to the story than he's selling.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, boss, I think let's now address some of all these gatekeepers that are industry gatekeepers. Let's say one or two to them.
The thing is, like I said, you always have gatekeepers. Like when even God that created people in the Bible said that the poor you always have with you, even when he wishes everybody to be rich. But there are certain inescapable realities in life. You will always have gatekeepers, because if it's natural when you've gotten to, if you're at the top of the ladder, it's in your interest to make sure that the ladder does not fall away. And you're going to do what you can to ensure that the ladder has its very strong support and to ensure that you can secure your place at the top of the ladder. So gatekeeping is a reality of life. But the thing is, one good thing about the internet is that it has taken away a lot of gatekeeping opportunities, even while creating new ones. But by and large, it has democratized access to a lot of things. Yeah. So to gatekeepers, I don't really have anything to say to them, because they're acting in their own rational self-interest, even if that interest might be hurting the interest of the larger ecosystem or the community at large. But the thing is, the gatekeepers are kept in their place by the ecosystem at large, by the actions of everybody in the ecosystem. Many people, let's say, for example, like we have the case of corrupt public office holders. It's not as if these people cannot be recalled, but most times, people willingly turn a blind eye to their wrongdoings because he's from my area. That people from other area have done their own. Nobody said anything. This one is my own person. So I'm going to turn a blind eye to what he does. So that could also be applied to our ecosystem on a smaller scale. And you could see the gatekeepers as the public office holders in a way. But the thing is, I think the only way to displace gatekeepers is by collective action. By collective action, as in stop doing things that propagate their continued existence at that high level, especially when their being there is not helping the ecosystem at large.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. One other thing I think we could do as an industry is to collectively call people out on their BS when they are, for lack of a better word, misyanning. Yeah. Like when we see conversations happening around a particular topic, and we can see through this that this is definitely not good for the industry, I believe we could have conversations with those people in a civil manner. I think that could also help.
Yeah, that could help. But the thing is,
it should not be the only tool in the arsenal. It should not stop there. Because some people can withstand being called out. So what happens if calling out does not work? There has to be some other forms of punitive actions that can be taken. But most I remember, if consequences are stimuli in biology, where we learn that living things change, they react to stimuli, they change their behavior, or they are influenced by the available stimuli in the environment. So let's say a way to look at stimuli, a way to understand stimuli is basically consequences. Consequences are stimuli in your environment. You're not going to, even if you like jumping, if they put you at the top of a 50-story building, you're not going to jump. Why? Because of the consequence of that action to you. That's the stimuli, and that is going to alter your behavior in some form. So basically, consequences are how that those are one of the most reliable ways to get human beings to behave well.
And the world we live in today, especially the online world, when mob actions can be devastating for some people,
most effective tools can be used to good ends and to evil ends. For example, the gun is used to save lives as much as it is used to take lives. It is used by the police to protect people, and it is used by the criminals to rob people. And the most effective way to deal with a criminal who has a gun is you having a gun to equalize the footing. So most effective tools they can be used to good end and to bad ends. Even the subject of discussion today, or the subject of disquisition, which is the either or fallacy, it has good uses. Basically, good training up your child in a good way is basically manipulation. You're manipulating the child, because how do you ensure that your child has good training? You don't leave them to choose from all the available options. You kind of do some form of pre-vetting and pre-selection. Okay, these are out of the universe of available options. These are the good options, or these are the attractive options. You can make a choice from this and that and that and that. That is either or fallacy, basically, applied to a good end, and every good parent does that. So most of these tools and most of these approaches, they are neutral. And all these neutral tools are devastating because they can be applied to great effects negatively as well as they could positively. So mob action is good. For example, why we have most of our political office holders misbehaving is because we don't have effective mob action. Of course, it can be used to ruin life, like it has done, like it has been used to a lot online. But it can also be used to get people to adjust their behavior in a way that is better for everybody at large.
Awesome. In closing, taking everything we see or hear online at face value can lead to poor decisions based on unsound arguments. So what I would recommend is to take everything with a grain of salt. Understand, Boss UK would mention earlier, I think he called it qui bono, who benefits. Understanding, or like you also say, follow the money. Yeah? If we could view everything we hear or see online with this mindset, understanding that not everybody has the best of intentions, I think would all be better for it. We'll all make more informed decisions. Come to conclusion on your own. Don't just take everything at face value. Don't take everything at face value.
Yeah, another way that I remember too of effectively countering either or fallacy is to put more stock in what people do rather than what they say. We are easily swayed by the nice things or by people that are very fluent talkers. So most times, and people tend to pattern their behavior after what people say, but look at what they're doing. That's the best way to ferret out the truth in any particular context or situation. So if somebody's always telling you, go right, and he's not going right, then there should be some question marks. Why is he telling me to go right? And if right is so good, what about him? Why is he not taking right? Or if we hear a lot of all these people that publish 10 steps to make money or how to hammer quick, and you've not hammered, and you're not using your own 10 steps. So why should I listen to you telling me 10 steps to make money? or native doctors too, for example. Okay, I can do some form of ritual to make you hammer. But look at you, you're living in poverty. So if those rituals were very good and all the best, how come you're not using it on yourself? So watching what people do, putting more stock or more weight to what people do rather than what they tell you they are doing or what they tell you to do is also a good way to save yourself from being deceived.
Awesome. Thank you so much, boss. Like, I've picked a ton of actionable nuggets and insights from today's episode. I really do appreciate your time. Thank you. And if you've listened to us today and you have suggestions or what you think we could do to mitigate or handle or bring in all this either or fallacies or put to cess or vet what people say online and make sure the information put out regarding our industry and what happens in it, how we could put things in check, please do send out your suggestions to us. We're opening to receiving your feedback. We want to also hear from you, right? So you can send us DMs, you could message us on Twitter, you could comment on the post for this episode, right? My handle is at @BrightCEmeka on Twitter, and Boss UK's is at UKChucks. Links will be in the show notes, right? You can alternatively send us an email. Our email address is thecreativesconicals@gmail.com. Let us hear from you. If you found this episode valuable, please do share with friends and loved ones. Also, remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Visit thecreativesconicals.com/subscribe. Select your podcast player of choice and click the subscribe button. Leave us a review too. That would be helpful. All right. Remember to always be creating. Go out today and create awesomeness. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.